So, okay. On Gimel Amud Aleph. So we're starting the sugya of Kinyan Dvarim. A short sugya. V'mayei Kimta. Helping Ariel over here, getting a Gemara. You look at V'mayei Kimta. Okay. Here you go. Okay, Bimaya Kimta. So how are we making the Mishnah? Right? How did we establish the context of the Mishnah? That's an Akimta. An Akimta is an important word to know because it very often distinguishes different drachim and learning. So for example, very often when there's a stira, so some achronim will say, well, one text is talking about A, the text is talking about B. Each one is an Akimta. The Chazanish is known for Akimta Terutza. And the Brisker Mahalach is to stay very far away from Akimta Terutza. Akimta sometimes can be a kasha. In other words, maybe something is not well proven because you could give an Akimta. But the Brisker Mahalach is if the text was there was a certain context, then it should have said it. So but coming back to the sugya that the Gemara says b'maya kimta. So what is the context of the Mishnah? What's the how we establish the Mishnah? V'she'ein bo din chaluka. Right. So Tosva says we're talking obviously according to Lishna Basra. In the Lishna Basra b'maya kimta, this Gemara is another Rai or Siyua to Paskan the Lishna Basra, because the Gemara is saying, no, so what's the deal? The Gemara is only discussing the Lishna Basra. So b'maya kimta l'misnisen b'she'ein b'idin chaluka that ashutvin shirotsu l'chalek l'aseis mechitza is in a field that's too small for chaluka. Right, and we pointed out yesterday that you see, just again as an aside for a moment, it was very, very important. Did you see how Rabbi Yehuda Nasi worked the Mishnah? He wanted to give us a din of Shutzvin, of Shechinim. He wanted to give us a din of Hezek Riya in Chotzer. So, if you or I were writing the Mishnah, we would say Shnei Shechinim. Shegorim Zel Yedeizeh, two guys living next to each other, and they haven't put up a mechitza, what's the din? We would say, a little more creative, we'd say two guys buy at the same time. More creative, we'd say two Yorishim got it. Right? If you don't know, see, much deeper. He said, two people who could have a taina that you were a moichelmi. Two people who could have a taina there was a chazoka. So Rida Nasi embedded the din of Hezek Riya in Chotzer in this specific case. And then when you learn the Rosh and you learn the Muki Yosef and you see that Chazaka and Mechila become the vectors, the Maftechos, to understand what they get, what's the concept. So then you see what Rabbi Nasi was doing in his Mishnah. On the one hand, it's a Seder Halachas, as we learned before, Yontif. Well, it's a code. But on the other hand, and you can pick it up, and you can learn in the fifth grade, and you learn a din of Achotzer. You can learn it then in the 10th grade, and you learn a din of Hezekriya. But then when you learn it later on, you understand Rabbi Nasi was saying it on another level. He was saying that if you understand why I'm giving you this context, so you understand that I'm giving you the mafteach to understand the hasog and the musug of whether Hezekiah is a tvias moment or whether Hezekiah is a form of hezek. Right? And each region will learn their way, and it's conceivable, not for people that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi left it as an ambiguity so that to open up both mahalchim. But this just gives you an insight into the different levels that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi incorporated in his mind. Probably there are more levels, that we haven't achieved yet, and probably in many Mishnayos. You'd be able to understand, and that's the talent. It's more than a talent. It's the siyata d'shmaya to be able to write a sefer on so many different madregas. Good. So now the Gemara says that ibe she'ein b'din chaluko ki rotsu ma'ave nahadribu. The Gemara says that we don't get the halacha over here. Halacha does not seem to be a halacha psuka, does not seem to be a practical halacha. Because what's the upshot? How did we begin shir 2 days ago? What's the nafkamin ledina? If Hezekiah lavshmei shmei Hezek, the nafkamin is, am I mukhuyiv to build a wall? What's the halacha lamais? The man was pressing to say, how will this appear in Shulchan Aruch? How would this appear in a kitzur Shulchan Aruch? So in a kitzur, you wouldn't write Hezek, Riyah, Shmei Hezek, you'd write two guys have to build a wall. So and you would write Halacha Beis would be two guys who are dividing up a chotzer. She'ein madin chaluka, we will enforce, or each one can force the other to build a wall. So the Gemara says, but it's not correct. Halacha Lamais is not correct. Conceptually, I get it. Night sky, I get it. Mechila, fine. Halacha Lamais, it's never going to happen. Why? Because I don't want to build a wall. So I'll say, okay, so let's go back. Let's not split it up. You're going to tell me that now that we split it up, I'm mechuyev to build a wall, and I'm mechuyev of my three amos, I have to give up an amo to build a wall, I have to have this stone wall facing it. All right, so I'm going to play hardball, and I'll say, so we won't divide it up. You want to divide it up? Okay, so then you use both amos in your side, you build a wall, and I get my three amos. Right? So the Gemara will say that it's not shayach to say, I'm going to be koy for you. I'm going to bring in a Beis Din. Because the guy will just say, all right, so we won't divide up. And then we'll see who blinks first. So, ki rotsum mayhavin hadribu. Omer ma'asim Rav Yechanan. So why would Rav Nasi record a halacha that's just not shayach? It's never going to happen. Vela ma'isa. Amr Vasir Rav Yechanan Shekonu Miyodon. Right? It could be deeper. That if you can't force me to pay for something, then you cannot be machayev me. I'm not sure that's correct, but I think the way he said it now seems to be the way that we should learn pshat. So the Gemara says, Amr Rav Yechanan Shekonu Miyodon. They made a kinyan, they made a commitment. They made a commitment. They're going to die the land. So you can't walk away from it. V'chikonu miyodon mayhave. So they made a kinyan. So what? Kinyan devarim ba'al mahu. It's a kinyan devarim. It's a commitment that has no substance to it. It's a kinyan of intent. V'chikonu miyodon beruchai. So the Gemara says, no. It's a kinyan. It's a real kinyan. How is it a real kinyan? Because it's a kinyan already on who gets which piece of property. So I was machnet to you, the north, and you were machnet to me, the south. I was mistalik from the north, and it's yours. You were talking to the south, this is mine. Rashi says they did a kinyan chazaka. So how would you look at this Gemara? The Gemara says there is no significant kinyan on the intent to divide. The Gemara said, no, we're talking about a case where they already made a kinyan and divided up the land. So now the Gemara says, so the kimta of this sugya is, shnayim shirotz, hashutin shirotzu la'aseis mechitza. And then in square brackets, ukvar osu kinyan ala karka. So now we'll force them to do hezek to build a wall. All right. So we just are expanding the Akimta. But by expanding the Akimta, so we learn a very important din. And that's what we're going to focus on. Once we get the sugya, once we get the pshat down, and that is, when am I committed to follow through on my commitment? All right? So let's look at the sugya, let's look at the Rashi. So Rashi says, if this is good, the pshat, this comes up very much, comes up in halacha lemaisa very, very frequently. We get this all the time. person made a commitment, wants to walk away. Person agreed to sell a house, and then didn't put the contingencies in, and then he's trouble buying another house, or whatever reason. Sometimes, let's say there's a famous Gemara, a person sells a house because they're making aliyah, and aliyah doesn't work out, then the Gemara says that kinyan is dissolvable. That's entirely retractable, because it's as if aliyah was a stated condition. But very often there's something, this comes up all the time in our suburb, where Reuven and Shimon decide to exchange that. Reuven sells the house to Shimon, all right, and then somebody comes to Reuven and gives him a better deal. So at one point, is Reuven allowed to tell Shimon, I got a better deal? So it's very, in Halacha L'Maisa, it's very, very sensitive, because when Reuven and Shimon decide to sell a property, so Shimon does have several days to walk away from it. Either if the engineering report comes back not so good, or there's something called a 3-day legal review. So, on one hand, you look at Reuven and he looks like a skunk because he made a deal, so now somebody comes with more money. On the other hand, Shimon does have the right to walk away from the deals if he gets a better house. All right, so you have to figure out what are each one's zechuyah. So this comes up not infrequently. If I get a better deal, do I have to give the first buyer the right to rebid? So this comes up in other areas as well. So that's what the Gemara is. When is intent a commitment? So to look at the Rashi. Rashi is the kinyan devarim hu. What the Gemara is holding right now and saying the commitment or the decision to split the land. No, the Gemara is saying right now the commitment to build a wall. Right. They made a commitment, they made a kinyan to build a wall. So now we're going to force them to build a wall. Kinyan devar, the Gemara says, no, there is no such thing as a commitment to build a wall. You can walk away from it. Why? Ein chalip in koinen eladora nikne oimecher oimatona. Chalip in are only koine of something that can be exchanged. Something that you can acquire. You can't acquire the commitment to build a wall. You probably could not sell the commitment to build a wall. You can sell commitments, but this is probably not. Oy mecher, are you actually selling something? Oy maton, or a gift. Oy shivud karkois, or creating a lien. Shakinyan chol olav, because the kinyan is chal on, say, on an object that you're selling, on an object, let's read it better. Ein chalipin koin el al dovar hanikne. A chalipin can only be chal on an object that can be transferred. Oy mecher, oy matona. Whether it's transferred through sale or through gift. Oy shibud karkois, or a kinyan can be chal on creating a lien. She kinyan chal olav, because a kinyan is chal on property, and on metaltalin, and on movables. Now, this is a loaded Rashi. Because Rashi said, ein chalipin koinen. So let's explain, let's be mamik for a few minutes of what chalipin is, just to get it straight. Those of you who have learned Bava Metzia last year, so this will be a little bit of a chazara. So chalipin has two usages in Shas. One is a barter, hamachlif por v'chamor. I'm selling you a donkey, you're selling me a horse. And the chiddush of a machlif por v'chamor is that if we make a deal that we're flipping a donkey for a horse, so when we flip the horse, the donkey is also niknes. That's the chiddush of a barter, right? I don't need a chiddush to tell me that if I deliver you a horse and you deliver me a donkey, that's a kinyan. That's called the kinyan kesef. However, I do need a chiddush to say that if I sell you a horse in upstate New York and you sell me a donkey in the Berkshires, so the moment that one of us transfers one of those objects, the other one is transferred. That's a kinyan, that's a barter, kinyan chalipin. However, there's another form of kinyan chalipin, and that is a representational barter, and that's called the kinyan suder. And that's where I give you something of minimal value, ke'ilu that I'm doing a barter, but I'm not really doing a barter. Right? As I give you my handkerchief, and with my handkerchief, I'm now going to be koine. I'm going to be koine. You're going to commit yourself to the ksuva. I represent the kala, and I give you a handkerchief. Now, with that handkerchief, even if it's a very expensive handkerchief, but your commitment to the ksuva, I hope, is going to be more than the value of this handkerchief. Right? So, with this handkerchief, you can't call it a barter. It's a representational called a kinyan suder, right? When we sell the chometz to a goy, so there are, we do many, many kinyanim, but the kin we're doing it. But one kinyan is we're giving. He gives us a handkerchief. He gives us a pen. With that, we're selling to him hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars of chometz. That's called a kinyan chalipin. That's a representational barter, but it's not really a barter. So the Rambam defines this. In Perek Hei, Hamakne bein karka bein metaltalin v'hisna tino and shesha lekaimon bein shehisna makne v'shisha koine im neskaimu tino nikna do v'shukna v'mlei neskaimu tanai leikona. Rambam begins, wrong Perek, that's it all. Perek Hei. The Rambam begins, kol metaltalin koine zezeh. All property can be exchanged, and you can make a kinyan one on one metal for the other. I can sell you a Gemara, and you can sell me a Kovetz Rishonim, right? So we make a deal. We're selling a Gemara for a Kovetz. Koinen says the example of the Gemara that gives Hichle Parva Chamor Yain B'Shemen Alpha Pishem Akpidin Al Adomim V'Shiru Kama Shomez V'Kama Shomez V'Achokach Echlifu. There's no kinyan mashicha. All we did was a kinyan on one object. Even if we're makvin on the money, even if you'll tell me the kaimetz is worth $40, and even an ois v'hoder, I'm not sure what's going for nowadays, but I don't know. So even if the kovetz is worth more than the ois v'hoder, or you use a paperback bimbo basra, it's $5. So even though you know about the relative values, nevertheless, the kinyan is chal. I can be koine the $30 kovetz with a $5 paperback bimbo basra. Once I do a kinyan on the paperback bimbo basra. Halacha hey, hakar kois va'avodin va'avheima v'shor kol metaltalin kol echon niknin bechalipin v'anikra kinyin v'ikar aderech hazoi shitin hakoina l'makne keli kolshu. Right? The Rambam says that there's another form of chalipin, a representational barter. So for example, we're selling an eved. We don't lift up and deliver the eved, but we can sell the eved. If I'm buying the other, I'm going to give you a pen. I'm going to give you a handkerchief. Or we're going to not behema instead of lifting the behema, doing a chazok or whatever. I'll do or any metalplin, even and karkois. How do I sell land? So I sell land either bekesef, either bishtar, or bechazoka, or bechalipin. And the Rambam says very clearly that I can use a keli kolshu. That's the din of chalipin. Then the certain halacha has to be shavar put to the keli. If you listen to the end of the ksuva, the very end of the ksuva is v'kanina, and it says from the chosin's name to the kala's name, b'mone dekoshel and miknaya bay. So zesh the koysin b'shtoris v'kaninam employni b'kli ha'koshel liknoizvei. So that is, we're recording in the shtar that we did a kinyan chalipin. The source of kinyan chalipin is the last pasuk of Megillas Rus. Because there it says, shlofnaloi, that when he took off his shoe, So that was a representational kinyan of whatever the transfer was over there. Okay, halacha test, the kinyan has to be done in front of Edom. And then, now how does a kinyan chalipin work? Kinyan mishicha, how does a kinyan mishicha work? Why is a kinyan mishicha a kinyan? No?
Because you're using the animal, for example?
You don't have to use the animal, but you're
acquiring it.
Well, was that?
You're pulling it.
Dalet amos, and it's an indication of you own it, right? If I pull the animal in front of you, why am I pulling your animal? Because you relinquished ownership, like a kinyan. I remember when I was at a rebbe in, I think, 11th grade. There was a David rebbe itself. So he drilled into us that what's the point of a kinyan? Kinyan is that the Torah says that we have to do something that creates ownership, after which we can no longer retract our commitment. Right? I sell you my laptop. What's to stop me 3 weeks down the road and say, but that's my laptop? And you sold it to me? Okay. I sold it to you, and I'm taking it back now. It was mine. I bought it. I paid for it. I had the bills for it. It's mine. But I paid for it, I'll give you money back. So there has to be something which captures that the sale is valid and is not retractable. There has to be something that determines exactly when the sale takes place. We sell the property and somebody trips on the property. Who is chayiv? So what exactly determined? We did, at 9 o'clock in the morning, we agreed we're going to sell the property. When did the sale take place? What point in time? When did I become chayiv? When can I sell this property if it goes up in price? Okay, so the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. I buy a property at 9 o'clock in the morning, and I find that at 12 o'clock it's jumped up by a stock. I said, what's the time from saying that 9 o'clock? We schmoozed about it at 9 o'clock. I had in mind the sale would be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Right? I want to sell it at a different price. So a kinyan is required in order to capture the moment and the no backsies. It's done. We made a commitment. We're not going back on it. That's a kinyan. Now, how does a kinyan do that? So a kinyan meshicha means I take this animal and you're watching and you're not stopping from taking your animal. That's a sign of vilus. Hagboy, pick up the animal and you're not stopping me. Sign of vilus. Kinyan chazaka. I go into the property and you're aware of it and I fix the fence. Why am I fixing the fence? It's my property. I'm not fixing your fence. So these are all signs of vilus. So once there is a tangible sign of vilus, as Mashiach HaGba, a Mesira, a Shtar. Shtar is a little bit different. Shtar is I can always prove that I own it. So the different forms of how kinyanim work. How does the kinyan chalipin work? All right, it's a barter. We get it. How does the kinyan sudar work? How did a handkerchief? What does that show anything? So Rav Chaim used to explain. I heard this from the Rav many times. The Rav used to teach us this perek. He drilled it into us. At the very end of perek Hilchos Mechir, there's a mahalach from Rav Chaim. Nogu roiva mekoyme zaktes le miktas elu dvar mekoyts ve elu vorm kenino bin ployni shos ployni shliach ay shmach al ployni khoyf ay shbitul meido shmosar af al pisha in ay tsar. There is a minhag that people do a kinyan sudar when they want to express a commitment even though it's not necessary. So let's say I ask you to be my shliach. So people do a kinyan sudar on shlichus. That's how in Erev Pesach, when you sell the chametz, when you appoint the rav to be your agent, why didn't kinyan sudar? You're not selling him anything. That's this Rambam. It's a minog. It's a minog that to appoint you as my agent, I do a kinyan. That's why 2 years ago we dispensed of the kinyan sudar in order that people shouldn't have to minimize the contact between people, because the kinyan sudar was a minog to appoint shlichus. You don't need a kinyan to appoint shlichus. Mochal leploini. You owe me $1,000. I'm moichal. So there's a minog to do a kinyan suder, even though the Rambam paskins that mechila does not require a kinyan. Or a person gave a get, and before he gave the get, he made a meidah. He went over to a few people, and he says, these rabbis are forcing me to give a get. I don't want to give a get. But if I don't give a get, they're going to harangue me, they're going to protest, they're going to make my life miserable. But I don't want to give a get. So I'm now announcing that the get that he's going to be giving is not a valid get. He gives a moise meidah. So the rabbis, when they give the get, they will make him be mevatel his meidah. Right? The standard practice in giving a get is that they take the husband, they say, in case you have given any meidah that undermines this get, you are now relinquishing and reneging, and you're being mevatel any of those meidahs. In legal documents, I see the same thing. Almost any legal document I've seen now says inside of it that this document supersedes any other conversation, anything else, in case the person was... So how do you mevatel meidah? The halacha is you just announce it in front of the basin. But there's a minhag to do a kinyan suder. Kinyan zeh. She'onu noigin be'elu advarim. This kinyan that we do, when we do the kinyan by the rav, and to appoint him as an agent to sell the chametz, einoy moil klum. This kinyan you do in your meichel, einoy moil klum. It's irrelevant, not important, the Ram says. The purpose of this kinyan is to announce that I'm not joking, I'm doing this seriously. I take it seriously. I'm not joking around that I'm selling my chametz to the guy. I'm really selling the chametz. It could be a very expensive bottle. I really mean it, because I don't want to be over the Easter Day Raisa. I'm Gomar Belivoy. I'm appointing this guy as a shliach. I'm gomar believer the fichachim omar believe sholem and the almighty the gomarti la so is the verse ein ein tsarech domer acher klal. Next Rambam is our sugya. But before we go to the next Rambam, Sir Chaim used to explain that in order for a minog to be a valid minog, it has to make sense. Right? I think it's in the Sefer. I listened to it many times. I think it's hard to read in the Sefer. In order for the, in other words, Klal Yisrael would not adopt a minhag that made no sense at all. So to say, I'm taking a Kinyan Suder and I'm going to use it as an expression of my commitment to appoint a Shliach, we would only do that if it made sense. Right? In other words, we would not say that I'm going to throw a ball into a basket. Oh, I'm going to appoint shlichus that way. Even the Rambam says it's a minhag. It's unnecessary, but it's a minhag. Then it has to make sense. Right? Person wouldn't say, I'm going to knock on the desk and that's going to be my, it doesn't mean anything. So in order for this minhag to make sense, it must be that the idea behind the kinyan is explains Rav Chaim, that's really the aside of every Kenyan. Why? What's the significance of a Kenyan? Mali, you and I decide we're going to exchange, you and I, we're going to sell the house. Alright? So then, who needs a formal Kenyan? We're going to sell the house, we decide you're going to pay $1 million, you're going to take out a loan, you're going to give me a certain amount of money, we're going to set a date, I'm going to move in, and you're going to move out. Who needs a shtar? Who needs to have a kinyan? And if there's no shtar, we decided, we have a whole plan of when you're going to give me the money, and when I'm going to give you the documents, and when you're going to give me the keys, and when I clean the house, I'm going to sell a car. I'm going to drive the car over to you Monday night, I'm going to get a ride back with somebody. When I come in the night, it's sold to you. You're going to pay a certain amount of money. Okay. Is there any further discussion? Elamai, we said before, you need a further discussion. Because I need to know, are you committed to selling the car? I have another offer to buy another car. I have to go someplace Tuesday. I don't want to call up Tuesday morning and say, I thought I had a car, I made a deal with a car, and therefore I cannot make this appointment for a job. It doesn't sound very good, right? I don't want Tuesday morning to scrap. I want to know I have a car. So we make a kinyan. The essence of a kinyan is that you are absolutely committed to something. So we do a maisa, and that maisa now locks us in. We know there is gemiras das. So Reb Chaim would explain the essence of every kinyan is gemiras das. The essence of the kinyan meshicha is you're watching me schlep your animal and you're stopping me. That means you are accepting that I'm the new baal, and I'm accepting to be the new baal. We gave our a handshake. Handshake means gemiras. We get it. We understand the commitment. We're making the commitment. It's called gemiras das. So Reb Chaim said the essence of every kinyan is not the activity. The activity is just an indication that there's a real gemiras das. But the real kinyan is happening because people, what we call it in America, a meeting of the minds. So Reb Chaim said, once you understand that the essence of every kinyan is the gemiras das, is the das makna. So a kinyan suder is just a point in time, it is an activity that says we accept gemiras das. So Reb Chaim said you can put it on a range, right? A meshicha metaltlen, that shows real gemiras das without any question, right? I'm stuck in the animal. A hagbah, I'm making the elephant go on a three tvachim up. It's a lot of tircha, a lot of effort. But when I do that, there's commitment. A shtar, that's not much less commitment, but a shtar is a document. You can show me, you can embarrass me that I gave a shtar. Right? So the different levels of how you can show gemiras das. So the kinyan suder is the wispiest, it's the lightest. But in terms of das, it is the Reb Chaim would say, the way they're upset, the das itself, the gemiras das is there. The das is the kinyan. So Reb Chaim explained, how did I figure this out? Because that's the only way it makes sense to use a kinyan suder to appoint a shliach. I want to show she'enoi oimer devarim eluk imesachet kukumahato she'gomar believer yachakomar. Reb Chaim said, this Rambam crystallized for us the Rambam Shita to what a kinyan is. A kinyan is the expression, the concretization, the marking of a commitment, and a kinyan suder can do that. So now we borrow kinyan suder to a context that doesn't even need a kinyan. And it's applied even though it's not necessary. Now, coming back with that background, so we come back to our Rashi. So our Rashi says, Kinyan Dvarim, the Gemara says, what's going on over here? We can walk back from this commitment to build a wall. So how can you tell me that we are, how can you tell me that we have, that my neighbor is going to force me to build a wall? I'll walk away from it. I'll say, we're done. I don't do walls. Right. See what happens. Tomorrow, if you still want to if you still want to divide things up, so you'll be mekabel upon yourself to build a wall on your property. Right? If not, we'll share it. It can't be, it's not shayach to force you to build in a tzadish ein b'chalukah. In a tzadish yesh b'chalukah, it's shayach. But in a tzadish ein b'chalukah, it's not shayach. So the Gemara says, no, we made a kinyan. We committed ourselves to build the wall. The Gemara says, that's not a kinyan. Rashi explains, what possible kinyan could there be to commit yourself to build? What's shayach? There's no shmishicha, there's no hagbah. Shtar is a possibility. There's no hagbah. There's no misi, whatever. So Rashi says, it's either going to be chalipin or a shtar. So kinyan chalipin, then chalipin koinin ella dover anikne, and chalipin can only, the same thing is with a shtar, can only be koine A shtar is shvacher, because a shtar is another restatement of intention. So a shtar doesn't advance anything. Whether I express my intent verbally or on paper, it's the same thing. So Rashi says, what kinyan are you talking about? A kinyan chalifin. Ve'en chalifin koinin eladover and hanikne, only something that is subject to being exchanged. A mecher matana, or a sale, or a gift, or a lien. But shekinyan chal olov amatalim, but a kinyan cannot be chal. It can't be effective on intent. It can't be effective on a plan. Not chal on a plan. Ein kinyan devar. So far that's from the mission. Any questions? Are you good with chalipin? You got it? Okay? Good. No problem.
Are you kind of into this? What would the status of a shtar be?
So the shtar would probably just be a written, be the same thing as this. It's just a written form of intent. So if it doesn't really make the expression of intent, I've aided that I intend to do something, but that would not enhance the kinyan or anything. That would not be enforceable. I don't think so. We'll think about it some more, but I'm sure. Go ahead. Yeah.
That the shtar is kind of like almost like an insurance or take it to the next level.
That's a separate Ma'aroch and Reb Chaim in terms of Eri Chasima, Eri Mesira Karsin. Exactly how does the shtar work? But the simplest way of looking at it, the shtar works because I have the ability to prove something. I'm giving you the ability to prove something. So in this case, the shtar probably wouldn't anything. I'm going to prove to you that you intended. All right, you intended to change your mind.
Because according to Rashi, you're saying it's through
Khalifa,
it's what the
shtar
actually can do.
But I'm saying the shtar, I don't think, would enhance anything over here, because the shtar would just say, I'm writing down that I intend. Okay, I intend. I changed my intention. That wouldn't make a commitment. But a Khalifa is a new Kenyan. So the Khalifa adds something. So the only question is here it doesn't add because Khalifa doesn't work. So that's why, hold on for 1 second. Ephraim, hold on 1 second. So that's what the first answer to the Gemara is. Beruchos. Zev boro lechelik mizrachi, vezev boro lechelik marovi. Vekonu miyadam, umiyata nikna chelik mizrachi, lezeh, ve'en lezeh chelik boi. V'chen ha'sheni lechavei roi. What did they do? They didn't make a kinyan on the intent to build a wall. They made a kinyan on the property. How'd they do that? Because we own a 7x7 piece of property, and we decided you're taking the south end, I'm taking the north end, and then we made a kinyan that you're taking the north end and the kinyan chalipin. All right, so then a kinyan can be chal in property. V'konu miyod made a kinyan chalipin. Umei ata now after the kinyan nikna chelik mizrachi lezeh. Now I own the east side. You get your stuff out of the east side. You should not be coming in the east side unless you have my permission. You can't sell the east side. And I can't sell the west side. And Rav Ashi says, a different din, same idea. We bought the land. We did a kinyan chazaka. I went inside. I dug a hole. That's the Kenyan Chazaka. I prepared to plant to put a nice plant there. Rafak Baporta, Vekarkin Nikneh Bechazaka. Acharei Asher Rotsu Bishas Chalukah, because that's what they wanted to do at the time of dividing. So also, the Gemara sounds like now a very straightforward Gemara. Gemara says, they can all walk back from the commitment to build a wall. So Gemara says, you're right, you can walk back from the commitment to build a wall, but you cannot walk back if you made a kinyan to separate the property. So they made a kinyan, either chalipin or kinyan chazaka, to separate the property. Gemara's kasha is, but you can't make a commitment to build a wall. Gemara's teretz is, they made a kinyan to separate the property. Okay. How do you make a kinyan? Chalipin or kinyan chazaka. Taisva says, to the Gemara, it sounds like an unremarkable Gemara. Taisva says, hold on, we'll be back to Ephraim in a minute. Taisva says, Ki rotsu mayhaven hadri. Alright, so Taisva says, The Gemara said is only according to the second man, the second lashon. What about the first lashon? He says the first lashon, where they made a commitment to build a wall. That was the commitment. Second lashon is they made a commitment to separate the property, so we will force them to build a wall. Right. So the Gemara says. So and the Gemara says, well, they can always, maybe it was not accurate. They can always walk back from that commitment. They made a kinyan on it. So why did the Gemara say same thing for the first? They can always walk back from their commitment to build the wall. Because in the first case, they could say they made a commitment and they were mishabed. They said to each other, we're building a wall, and you can collect the money to build the wall from my lawnmower. And the other guy said, you can collect the money to build the wall from my tent or whatever. So they were actually mishavid property. So the kinyan was chal on the shiva they created. Elamanu replukta, but if all that happened is they made a decision to divide le mahani kinyan, the kinyan devorim ba'al mahu, le masik adaiti shekonu beruches. So, but why can't you say the same thing over here? Why can't you say we decided to divide the property, and I'm committing my lawnmower to what? If we decided to build a wall, there's a cost, so I can make my lawnmower a lien. I could get a sheep, maybe not. Maybe it has to be property, maybe. But if the decision to divide the property, there's no cost is being discussed here. And the Gemara says, and I find this very difficult, Tosfos says, and they didn't have a habamina that they made a kinyan on the property. What bothering Tosfos still bothers me. The Gemara, in terms of the Shaka Bataria, had trouble with it. Because the Gemara says they had the big kasha, either didn't make. They can walk back their commitment to divide their property. Gemara says, no, they can't. They made a kinyan. To me, it's like an unremarkable Gemara. They didn't have a Gemara. They said the same thing. So Gemara says, like, asik adaita. They didn't have a havimina that they made a kinyan. So tzorach in gadol, what happened? The havimina the maskana. Now, why Rav Ashi decided to record this Gemara, so that I get. Why is that? Because there are two parshas to be ma'ayin in the sugya. Before we do that, I forgot, what were you going to say before?
It's not an answer question.
Oh, good. Okay. So then the next Taisva says, Taisa says, why is this different from a shomer, I ask you to watch over my Gemara, so, and we're friends, so, and you're not charging me. Masa, you're a shomer chino. There's no deals. I have to watch my Gemara. I have to go to class, watch over my Gemara, right? So the Gemara says, so what happens if the guy says, you know what, but I want you to bechaya for Einstein. Something crazy happens. Crazy thing happens that you should bechaya. So guy comes in, and an armed guy comes in, and he puts the gun to your head and says, I need that Bama Basra. So I'll bechaya for it. I'm bechaya for Einstein. So the Gemara says, how could I become chayiv? What made me chayiv? That's a statement of intent. The Gemara says, why is that a kinyan devarim? I said, I will pay for this if some crazy case comes up that you're forced, that I'll be forced to sell your, to give you Gemara over. The Gemara says, no. Do kinyan gomer shem mishabed is atzma shem yonis yishalim. There is a real kinyan over here, because I'm not obligating myself to protect your Gemara that the Kenyan Devarim. I'm obligating myself to pay if the Gemara is taken away. So there's a real shibud there. Okay. Vayter Rashi Yomar Kigun Shalach Olan Teim Levi Ma Bar Rav Ashi Lohisif. Turn to Pshat. What is Rav Ashi's chiddush over here? The Shakvatari I find difficult. Gemara says they can retract. Gemara says they made a kinyan. Rashi says, and they made a kinyan chazaka. What's Rashi teaching me? It's the Mishnah that a karka is bought bekesef b'shtara chazaka. So what's Rashi saying? It can also be a kinyan chazaka. No, that I know. It's a bigger chiddush to say it's a kinyan chalipin, so I got a bigger chiddush. So now I can also do it. That's a tiny chiddush. That's nothing. So Gemara says, So the Taisa says that even though a kinyan chazaka usually only works either if it's done in the presence of the other or by the instruction of the other, over here we're going to waive that requirement because in this particular case we've discussed dividing it. Okay, so it's a chiddush in the halacha of how chazaka works. The Taisus answers that it's a kinyan in terms of the way chazaka works. The chazaka, that kinyan chazaka can work even because we had a conversation about it. He's looking for the new Yosef. Does it come up over here? I don't think so. Right, that normally a kinyan chazaka requires either the presence or the instruction. Over here, we're saying that in place of the presence or the instruction, the fact that there was a previous conversation, then in kinyan chazaka, then Muki Yosef points out kinyan devarim, same as Rashi, konav yer ruchos, similar to Tosavos. Tais, the Nemuki Yosef says, you'll ask me the kasha, what did Rav Ashi teach us? We know this then in Chazaka. Yesh Loimar could be that Rav Ashi was not in the base of Medrash when they gave Rav Yechanan's teretz. All right, and he's had to write both. Okay. The all very adechik teretz. Vod kos v'achirim. The kamashmalon, like Tosva says. Good. Because of arriving. Hold on a second. Hey, Chashabol Achzik.
We're
looking for
that.
Hold on a second. Hold on a second. Because of arriving. Kosev arrived, the Ravid said, Dimkonu miyodim is chayv kolecho lechaver b'dmei machtes hakoysel v'hanei namei heich kinyin v'lei havei kinyin devarim elu b'shakonu miyodim lasois kosel d'mach gavle is chayv chad minayu. Tosef is the same, the Ravid says the same thing that Tosef sounds like he would say, that if they actually made a shibud, then that kinyin is chal. Right? If we committed ourselves and we said we're going to build a wall, or we're going to build a wall and we're mishavet something to the building of the wall, that's not a kinyan devar. The hoyra goinim, and the goinim said the hu adin Ha'ayim l'cham ne'roi, Reuven says to Shimon, etim l'cham l'saim zuz. I'm going to give you 200 zuz. V'konu miyodai. And they made a kinyan. T'lei mahanye de kinyan devarim. That's also kinyan devarim. I'm going to give you $200. I'm going to gift you $200. Right? And you didn't do anything in return. If you did something in return, that could be rechiv. But I'm going to give you a gift. All right? So then you heard you're getting a gift, $200. You heard, all right? You buy for $200, you can probably buy an oiz of hoder and a kibbutz. No, you can buy some achrenim also. Right? So then you buy the achrenim. You have a hole in your pocket right now. And you're waiting for $200. Doesn't come. You feel uncomfortable. So the guy he finds out that you're and he can say, but it's the intent which counts. I wanted to give you. I felt good about it, but it was a kinyan dvarim. I'm not really chayiv. So the and even if they made a kinyan, he's going to walk it back. In fact, the Muki Yosef says an even stronger lashon, which I can't find right now. Lahadra Bahu. Why can't I find it? Vishakonu miyadai. Maybe it's right before this. Lahadra Bahu. Kaloima Lomala Yochalachzer Boy. Tabidvarim biyolma leko mishum mechusar amona. Mechusar amona is a sugi in Bava Metziah. Some of you learned it last year. Those who learned Bava Kama Metziah, it's a gewaldig day today. We did a little bit of Shmira, Kinyonim, Hazov. Brings everything together. So the Gemara says in Bava Metziah, if you and I decide that I'm going to sell you something, and we don't make a kinyan on it, and then I decide not selling it. Right now, there is a sugi in Baba Basra, I hope we'll have a chance to learn it, called Ondi Amahatach B'Charara. When can I walk away from a deal that we're making? Very important sugi. And this relates to that sugi. That particular Gemara, which is part of a larger sugi, says that if you and I decide to sell something, and we don't make a kinyan on it, and then we walk away from it, so then the Gemara says the Beis Din can give you a Mishapara. What's a Mishapara? You get censured by the Beis Din. Right? The Beis Din says, Mishapara midor amabol, hu yifram and Misha enoi oimed b'diburai. I take you to the Beis Din, I say, he told me he's going to give me $200. I take you to the Beis Din, he said, he's going to sell me the property. And based on this idea, I sold my idea also. So the Gemara says, and then he was walking away from it. So I threw in basin. So the guy said, we never made a kinyan. We talked. That's the way business is. You talk, and then you discuss a deal. Very often it goes through. Very often it doesn't go through. This deal didn't go through. We talked, and we never made a kinyan. We never signed a shtar. The guy says, but you said you're going to sell to me. You didn't say contingencies. You didn't say, maybe if you get the milk and the money. And then I guess that's what a kinyan is. Until you sign, then it's all contingency. It's all ifs, maybe, will, I mean, there's no commitment. Once we sign the commitment, a kinyan, a handshake, a commitment, money down is a commitment. So the Beis Din will say to these two guys, depends on the situation, but they might say, he's right. You cannot sue him. He can walk away from it. But they turn to this guy and they say, Misha Paro Midor Amabu Hu Yiframi Misha Eno Oimei B'Diburi. That's a very scary thing. So the Beis Din to say, the same Kodesh Baruch Hu that brought a flood in the world will be upset with people, will punish a person who doesn't, is not an honest person, who doesn't keep his commitments. Not a pleasant thing to get a Misha Parv, right? So I was thinking, when I take attendance, the Rav used to take attendance. The Rav used to read at least 75 names at the beginning of every year. There were hundreds of guys in the room, but not all registered. So at least 75 guys, sometimes 100 guys, you would read every single name. Okay. And if a guy missed three times, then he'd take his pen out and cross the guy off. No one wanted to be crossed off. It's a very upsetting thing for the Rav to go to the door to take his pen and cross your name off his list. Right? He didn't need punishments. He didn't need to threaten. He didn't need to get bad grades. You did not want to get crossed off by the Rav. The optic is pretty bad. So to imagine a basin of three choshev rabbanim, long white beards and kapotas, and they say to you, "You're a skunk." Right? They don't say it that way. They say, Misha Parah Midorah Mamu. Who Yifra Mi Misha Eina Oime V'Diburoi. I think most guys would say, we'll keep a deal. We're not walking away from this so fast. Right? So this Nebuki Yosef says that Lomu Layochel Afzabi Do Devor Ma'al Malekha Misha Mechusar Amona. He says, you're not even considered to be a skunk. You're not even considered to be an Eina Oymed V'Diburoi by Kenyan Devar. Good. So now let's just stop for a second and Chazer. So the sugya begins. We mentioned the importance of Nekivta. And then we had a digression about Kenyan Chalipin, but it's a Yesodistika digression, a learner of Chaim about what a Yesodistika Kenyan is. And how you learn what a Yisrael of a Kenyan is, and what the significance of a Kenyan suitor is. Okay? Good. That's important. It's on. Comes up. When you learn the Bavis, this shir from the Rav, Mechira, Perak Hay, comes up several times. Alright? It's very important. Yisrael. And the Rav drilled it into us. So then we learned Pshat in the Sugya. What was Pshat in the Sugya? Gemara says, why are you making a big deal over here? About forcing the guy to build a wall, he'll walk away from the deal. Gemara says they made a kinyan. Okay, so there are two ways you can discuss this. So you can get two sets of shir. You can discuss what a kinyan chazok is, and you can discuss what's the chiddush of Ravashi. These are all very important issues to discuss and try to figure out what was the chiddush of here and lechazek ukni. But I'm not going to go down that road. That's not really our sugya. About Kenyan Chazaka, that's much later on in the Masechta. However, this does become one of the areas where the Bishonim discuss when are you obligated to keep your commitment? What's the Kenyan Devarim? What's the Kenyan Devarim? When is a commitment something that I'm not obligated and in other words, expressing an intent is lav davka an obligation? Not only that, but the Ruki Yosef says that it doesn't make it even into the kin into the Eino Oime V'Dibura category. That's even a bigger chiddush. I would have expected for it to say, all right, I'm not committed. You can't bring me to court. You can't force me. But I Eino Oime V'Dibura. So the Ruki Yosef says no. Kinyan Devarim is not even that. So what I do want to discuss and spend hopefully tomorrow, maybe Sunday, on what is a Kenyan Devarim. In other words, which we do not respect. When does a commitment require a Kenyan? And better yet, when is a Kenyanless commitment not a commitment? What's called something that a Kenyan cannot commit me to? I made a Kenyan. It's a Kenyan Devarim. That's again, define it sharper. There are situations where I can make a Kenyan Chalipin, but it doesn't create a commitment, because it's a Kenyan Devarim. There are times when Halacha says you express intent, people are allowed to express intent without being committed to it. So I want to understand that. All right? And if you sit, and it's a Machlekes exactly how to work this, Machlekes Rosh Mevki Yosef. And then we'll see how it works out in the Tur and the Rosh, and we'll try to develop what are the Yesodos of a Kenyan Devarim. because that is very important to understand at least the concept of Shein Halacha L'maisa, because it does come up that people make commitments and sometimes things come up, and when is it considered to be that I am not held by that commitment because something else came up? How are you feeling?